WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pop.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've got outdated songs playing because I think we have a country edition of Raw coming up. Okay, you can cut that out now. Is the be-all, end-all, the Omega, joined by Mace and the producer, Sir Rockin, and, yeah, chat time.
Yay, chat time. Woohoo! Exciting, huh?
It's supposed to be, but, you know.
It's supposed to be? It's supposed to be. Where's the Australian?
Don't
waiting
know.
For a chance to say something. But, you know, the Americans just keep yapping on and on and on and on and on. They don't know when they shut their mouths.
All right, I'll be quiet then.
Yeah, right. So, yes, once again, it's a week of wrestling. I believe one of us wants to blow up the world. And, yeah, the Canadian's still missing.
There's no Canadians on this network. I don't know what you're talking about.
Not anymore.
They're long gone. So, speaking of blowing up the world, people were blowing up the internet after Monday Night Raw ended. When the thought of the Wyatts and the Shield colliding.
Internet blew up, Lindsay's ovaries blew up.
Well, Lindsay's ovaries blow up all the time. But I want to know your reactions, I'll start with you, Mace, to the ending of Monday Night Raw.
This is sort of where it gets a bit different for me, because unlike the usual time where I sit here and I watch it live with Lindsay, Rock, and Omega, I was out in country New South Wales where I couldn't see shit live. And by the time I caught it on the replay, I'd already heard about everything that happened and seen clips put up on YouTube, so it just didn't really have much of an effect when I watched it. And, yeah, like it's an interesting idea, but by the time I got around to seeing it, I think it had been destroyed by other opinions seeking their way into my head.
Well, that's always never a good thing. Always need your own fresh opinion on things.
Exactly.
So, speaking of fresh opinions, Omega...
Hanging on, I'm reading up on my opinion.
Okay. He reads up on his opinion.
as soon as they introduced another three-man faction, it instantly started becoming, well, we're not keeping the brands apart, so we're looking at this here town ain't big enough for the two of us situation. Mm-hmm. So it does seem like, even if they're all working as heels, it does seem kind of like an obvious thing that eventually they would come to blows. You know, there can be only one.
Right.
It's definitely an interesting tease, and, you know, what might be.
So does this mean we get a team of people swinging swords at each other trying to lob their heads off?
If only.
So, when you watched Monday Night Raw, what was your reaction to, is this going to be a Survivor Series match? Wyatt and the Shield working together? Or were you not expecting that whole big 12-man thing at Survivor Series?
I was wondering if they remembered how many are supposed to be in a Survivor Series team.
Well, you can play with the rules a little bit. They have in the past.
Traditionally, it's been 5-on-5 or 4-on-4.
Yeah, I know. But I think they've had larger ones.
Not that I can recall.
To the Googles and stuff here in a bit, but
here we go.
were you thinking we would see that, or no? You had your expectations were lower.
I sort of looked at it and I'm like, I could see them turning this into a Survivor Series match, but at the same time, then you're taking out like you continue the Wyatt feud at Survivor Series, but you're also taking out the tag champs of a possible pre-show matchup, because let's face it, I doubt they put them on the main show 3 months in a row. But, yeah, and then I sort of looked at it like, and I'm like, 12-man Survivor Series, it's too much. It'd go on for way too long unless you have, like, half the group get eliminated in the middle of the match extremely quickly. Like, this is Nightmare Booking 101.
But the thing is, if you don't have this match, you're now left with the Wyatts and versus CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, and there's no real undercard, is there?
You can probably have a three-way tag match between the Usos, the tag champs, and the Shield. And that means you also get another undercard match with Ambrose defending the U.S. title again.
But then you're back to Hell in a Cell, which was sort of triple threat tag match, and an undercard match with Dean Ambrose. Is that, when you think of Survivor Series, does that make it special or just another pay-per-view?
Survivor Series has been just another pay-per-view for years, unfortunately. I don't think there's much else I can say about that. It's like, Survivor Series used to be it used to be known as the Grand Four or the Grand Five when you had the King of the Ring as well. Nowadays, Survivor Series is pretty much treated as just another pay-per-view. So, trying to make it special again at this point, it's not really possible.
It's just another gimmick pay-per-view. Hey, we're going to have this special type of match. Come pay attention because it only happens on this pay-per-view. Come buy it.
But we really don't even have that, do we?
Well, not yet, but, you know. That's what we're speculating on. They're building to that.
Mays pointed out a triple threat tag. If you were booking, how would you set it up?
The 6-on-6 unfortunately makes the most sense, but at the same time, you know, not to put anything against the Wyatts and the Shield here, but you've got two former WWE champions on the opposite side. You got two legitimate top carders, opposing them. I mean, it's a bit unbalanced.
Oh yeah.
The hard part here is I'm trying to figure out how to kind of single this out, because part of me would want to keep it 5-on-5 and then make something like, okay, let's give, let's give Dean Ambrose a title defense with someone else from the other team, but that seems like they're, but it'd have to be either Punk or Bryan, and that's a down step for them. And then the other, you could elevate Bray and put him against, like, Bryan.
But is it too soon to go there with Bryan and Bray?
You asked me for alternatives to booking.
And I'm challenging them. I'm asking, is it too early to go there?
They're already mixing the two together. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that might be a little too early is, well, the fact that you are, you're splintering these two out from this pack. Because, okay, these two are a little bit more important than the other ones, so we're going to dedicate time just for that feud. Mm-hmm. It might be a little too quick for that, but at the same time, they really, really want to get the Wyatts over. So, it might be quick, but it might be a beneficial idea.
Where do you stand on what he was proposing, Mace?
I stand nowhere. I'm sitting.
Really? Really?
Sorry. I really don't. I don't know why. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio. I'm Mace. My brain is like.
Everyone on the show is defeated today.
Well, I wouldn't say the words defeated. The Eagles actually won a game. It's amazing.
No. We are all the Cowboys right now.
No, I can never say that. I will never be a Cowboy. Just playing that one out. Anyway, back on track. Down the line, because that's sort of, as he says, he hates us all. Are you actually interested in the Wyatts versus Shield, and would that be better for WrestleMania? Start with you, Mace.
I'm not exactly excited for it, but at the same time, I don't know. It's like something that we pretty much are going to have to see at some point. You know, as Omega said, it's pretty much going to boil down to a this town ain't big enough for the two of us situation. So, it's going to happen. Is it WrestleMania worthy? Maybe, only just, not really, kinda, maybe the pre-show. It's one of those things that's like, yeah, it's gonna happen, I'd like to see it happen, I just don't really think it's worth the $800 that we usually have to plonk down for WrestleMania. Right. The standard edition, not the high definition.
That's about $1,500. What about you, Omega?
It is an eventuality. They do eventually have to cross paths. More seriously, you do need time to build it. I'm not necessarily sure it's a WrestleMania feud, but that's because the Wyatts are still fairly new at this. You know, the Shield at WrestleMania. Okay, that's fine. I don't mind that at all. The Wyatts are, you know, I still have my issue with the Wyatts, where they are great, you know, they tell a good story, they add a unique dynamic. In the ring, I kind of stop caring about them. You know, I'm waiting to see a bit of a different dimension. You know, the Shield can raise their game up a notch when they have to. You know, they put on phenomenal matches. They have better chemistry and choreography than most tag teams do. The Wyatts, on the other hand, are just very they are brutes. They are powerhouses. They are the sluggers, of the locker room right now. There's only so far that goes. You know, that can only be so interesting. If you're going to build to a WrestleMania match, there needs to be a better or at least a deeper dimension to it than just that.
Right.
They got a while to build up.
They got some time. So if you're going to get to WrestleMania, you got some time.
We'll see.
Speaking of roots and stuff, we're going to transition to some bigger men and some Heyman guys, as it were, especially the Ryback. After this week and basically Heyman throwing him under the bus, is Ryback done as a credible threat of any sort? Omega?
He was done months ago. He was done when he was feuding with catering. You can't take him seriously. Like I said it before, and I'll say it again. It's the guy who submitted to The Miz because he got his leg punched a lot. From that point on, you know, no matter what his streak was, no matter how many jobbers he beats at the same time, no matter how many, you know, however many times he fails to lift Mark Henry, at that point, any kind of credibility you had with him was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't recover from that. You tapped out because The Miz gave your leg an owie. You're not a threat anymore. I don't care if you are a Heyman guy. You know, I don't care if you can. I don't care if you can uppercut a bulldozer.
Right.
You know, The Miz is not a guy who has a great win-loss record this year in the first place.
No.
Let alone to beat the guy who was feuding with Cena for the title for so long, who's supposed to be such an ominous, incredible threat. Punching his leg.
Yeah. What about you, Maze?
Ryback was a credible threat? Since when?
A year ago when he was challenging for the title?
Okay, Ryback, no matter what he does, has been one of those guys where it's like, you sort of stand there with that Big Show dopey grin on your face going, oh look, he's trying to be threatening, isn't that cute, wanna pinch his cheeks? He's about as threatening as the fucking Care Bears. No matter what they did to this guy, credible threat? Never.
Well, they're probably going to need him to be a credible threat because there's a rumor circulating the interwebs at the Royal Rumble, the Ryback versus the Brock Lesnar.
Hold on. You mean Brock Lesnar versus a fucking punching bag?
Yeah, that guy.
Because let's face it, you go into that match, all you're going to see is Brock beating the absolute shit out of Ryback, and it's going to be funny as hell.
Are you interested, Omega?
I've already seen Lesnar versus Goldberg. It was terrible.
Well, I'll give you this choice then, Omega. Would you rather see Brock versus Ryback or Ryback versus Goldberg?
Ryback versus Goldberg, because that's a train wreck I will laugh at.
What about you, Mace?
Omega's got a point. I'd rather the Goldberg one, because Goldberg being that much ring rust and the fact that, you know...
It's Goldberg.
It's Goldberg, and, you know, it's Ryback who can't carry a fucking wet paper sack.
Sometimes literally.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those epic train wrecks that you just want to put on a you know, a cloudy day when you've got the grumpies, and it'll cheer you right up because, you know, no matter how bad your life gets, you'll never be that match.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Now, the other linebacker, the other Heyman guy, rather, is Curtis Axel. And by what happened on SmackDown, it doesn't seem like he's going to be a Heyman guy anymore. Is that a good, bad move?
Meh. Like, I don't know. Like, Axel never really gained anything from being a Heyman guy. You know, his stock didn't rise. Sure, he got the IC title, but even then, people are still like, Curtis who? You know, it's weird. Like, I was talking to my old man when we tried watching Raw while we were right away, and there was just, we were discussing Axel, and we just sort of realized there's nothing to him. You know, they changed his name to Curtis Axel to sort of mooch a bit off his parents' legacy. And it didn't help. They gave him the IC title. Didn't help. They put him with Paul Heyman, one of the best managers currently in the business. And it hasn't really helped him. So pulling him away from Heyman is like, oh, Heyman's gone? Oh, okay then. Go back to jobbing in the pre-shows, dude.
Omega.
Oh, yay, yay. I'm waiting for Curtis Axel to have some right move in the first place. Right from his debut when Heyman said Curtis and his Titantron said Kurt. Like, right from the first step, it's like something derailed on this guy. You know, and then just, okay, yeah, fine, he's a Heyman guy, but he's not winning any matches, and, oh, wait, he got the Intercontinental belt, and he barely ever wins a match anywhere. I want to know what happened. Like, it seems like the entire year the Intercontinental title has just made you the top jobber. Because before that, it was Wade Barrett who held it for, a third of the year. And
between him and The Miz, yeah.
Oh, no, The Miz had it one day.
No, he had it a couple times.
He won it at WrestleMania, and then he lost it right back. The rest of the year, it has been Wade Barrett or Curtis Axel.
Okay.
Those are the only two Intercontinental champions this year who've held it more than one day. And Wade Barrett and Curtis Axel collectively are the two worst Intercontinental champions I have ever witnessed, because they could never win shit. They always lost their matches. They always lost them clean. And they're just really fucking boring with a belt. They don't elevate it. It doesn't elevate them. It's just decoration. You know, it might as well be a cape or a nice jacket, because it's just something to get your attention and that's it.
The question is, what would the intercontinental jacket look like?
It doesn't have to be the Intercontinental jacket. It could, you know,
could be the United States jacket, the European jacket, the TV jacket.
It could be a Dallas Cowboys jacket, and you'd say that looks more like a winner than the Intercontinental champion.
Now that's a stretch. It's a big stretch. Cowboys aren't winners.
Well, you know, the Cowboy players wear the thing. They still don't win. So, yeah, it's a pretty good analogy.
Hang on.
Mike is now Googling. I'm not even the one taking the shots, Kane Kittens. It's Omega.
This is not a personal shot at you, dude. I'm just stating fact here, really.
Just wait, yeah, I don't know, continue.
Curtis Axel's time in the WWE, up at the main roster, keeping in mind he has held the Intercontinental Champion for now 155 days, his record stands at 144 wins, 155 losses.
That's not bad, 11 difference.
The majority still weighs to the loss. And he's a champion. pardon me if I remember Champion being someone that was difficult to defeat.
Yeah, true.
But at least
I think you sort of nailed Curtis Axel with the whole, you know, train getting derailed. I sort of more thought of it as they went to put the train onto the tracks and then realized that the rails weren't installed yet.
Fuck, we got a really nice train, but we don't have anywhere to take it. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
But is he better than he was when he was Michael McGillicuddy?
You know what?
That's actually really debatable.
Well, not really, because like he wasn't really going anywhere as McGillicuddy. He's not going anywhere as Axel. So all they've really done is taken the same shit and put a shiny new wrapper on it. They're Capcom.
All they did was take a really shit name and make it kind of crap.
Again, Capcom.
So does that mean someone has to fork over $4.99 for him to actually get better?
Probably.
It's already in him. They just have to unlock it.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah. I have nowhere to go from there, so we're going to take a break.
Fucking dorks. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I got no more questions for the first segment, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into a little fantasy booking, as it were. And we want your opinions as well, so if you got a question, comment, leave it in the chat room. We'll answer it on the show. You're listening to WTR Sunlight Wrestle Talk Relate Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. By everyone except when he comes in here. Now he's a product of the Haggard generation. He's got a redneck side when you get him agitated. He got the gold tooth look from a stiff right hook. He's proud he took for his right wing stand on Vietnam. Says he lost his brother there. He yells out Johnny Cash and the band starts to play. A ring of fire as he walks up and stands there by the stage. And he says, hell yeah! Turn it up, right on. Hell yeah, sounds good.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and of course, WWE Superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo!
This is for all you sophisticated ladies out there.
Up in the city in a little subdivision. Her daddy wore a tie, mama never fried a chicken. Ballet, straight A's, most likely to succeed. They bought her a car after graduation.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Country night because Raw is country tomorrow. Whoever thought that was a grand idea, we'll see what happens tomorrow night on Raw.
Because everyone remembers when Rock sung country.
Yeah, that was interesting. Hey, I can bring up, anyway, we'll maybe get into that a little bit later. Alright, time for a what-if scenario, boys. If TNA and WWE were able to make a trade of talent... like they do in other sports, an even trade. What would be a good trade that would help both organizations, as well as the talent who will be traded?
I already see a big flaw in your question.
Okay.
You're asking for an equal exchange.
Yes.
I'm sorry to say, no matter who you take off the TNA roster, any guy that you're sending back is going to be too talented.
Alright, by even exchange, it can't be like three-man band for Samoa Joe.
To be honest, if you send over, say, like a Samoa Joe to WWE... you look at the roster and you go, all right, who would be worth sending the TNA? I got nothing. I'm sure there'll be people out there who listen to this and go, oh, send over Punk and Brian. No.
No.
Brian's too talented and Punk won't go back. I know that from first-hand experience asking the guy the question.
We're talking fair trade, and that encompassed the entire roster, the six-sided ring, the concession stand, and half of the audience, since they are also cast members in TNA.
See, it's just... it's one of those questions that, like, yeah, in a perfect world, sure, you know, I'd probably take some of your mid-card... I'd probably take a guy like Drew McIntyre, who has a lot of wrestling ability, has a lot of potential, send him to TNA, and give WWE Samoa Joe. Because Joe is wasted in TNA, and it'd be a good, like, fresh set of opponents for Samoa Joe in the WWE. Whereas McIntyre being on the other end, he can use the opportunity being in TNA to hone his craft, start making a bit of a star for himself. You know, this is basically WWE's your major leagues and TNA's your minor. You know, it's hard to make the comparison between the guys because they're on two completely different levels. So, yeah. Now they've given Omega plenty of time to think.
Well, see, there's this perfect world in my head where I can get rid of any undesirables on the WWE roster, and TNA will actually consider it a fair trade because they were on WWE. And people know their names. You know, like, can we get Samoa Joe over to WWE where his talent might actually be seen by people, and we can get rid of the Great Khali in the same stroke?
I'm just wondering, who would you trade Zack Ryder for? Ken Anderson?
No, does the concession stand have a chili dog?
Not that enough.
Now you're getting really hard in the... where's the fair balance at?
I'd love to bring Bully Ray back over. You know, he's gotten himself in a really good ring shape. He's improved a shit ton on the mic. He's developed a character that gets over really well with fans, from a heel's perspective anyway. But then it's like, who do we send back in exchange? It's like, there's not really much.
Who can we trade Curtis Axel for?
AJ Styles.
Wait, you're sending your Intercontinental Champion? I don't know about the... Look here, we put a Chicago Cubs cap on him. Okay, now he looks like a winner. See, Kane Kittens, I can take shots of myself, too.
Yeah, I just... It's hard working out that fair balance, because even some of TNA's top stars you'd equate to maybe mid-carders in the WWE?
I think the only ones you've got are people that are already well-established in the public eye. You know, and that amounts to Kurt Angle and Sting, and that's pretty much it.
See, I'd like to bring over Christopher Daniels. But the only problem is he'd have to stop drinking martinis.
I know Jericho was drinking during the PG era. It's part of a feud to make fun of Punk, but it was there. The trick is, a lot of these guys, you know, the only ones who would really benefit in WWE are guys who are completely established. You know, the guys in TNA, since very few people have seen it, since the gap is so huge between ratings and popularity, they're basically starting fresh. You know, these guys are incredibly talented in the ring. Yes. Do anyone know them? You know, it's like working with, you know, it's like working with a completely new wrestler. You know, and in that sense, WWE would rather build up their own homegrown people.
Yeah.
You know, if they bring over guys like Bully Ray, or Ken Anderson, they're only going to see him as the guys who left. You know, they're going to want, you know, Bubba Ray Dudley back, not Bully Ray. You know, they'll want Ken Kennedy back, not the asshole.
Yeah, you got a point. And then, you know, you take a look at, you know, your other guys, your Samoa Joes, your AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, guys like that. They're guys that would, that I'd love to see given a news perspective in WWE, but at the same time, they're going to be in a CM Punk Daniel Bryan situation where it's like, yeah, they've got all the talent in the world, but they're going to be seen as products of TNA Ring of Honor.
Right. Especially in the case of Daniels, who also has his age working against him. I mean, he still looks great. He still looks great. He's still a great performer, but he's in this really uncomfortable territory where it'd be really hard for him to start over in a new promotion.
Yeah. See, as much as I like guys like Bobby Roode and James Storm, I don't see them working in WWE.
Yeah.
You know, their gimmicks, their looks, their attitudes, especially James. Unfortunately, James Storm would not go over well with a WWE crowd, I don't think.
Probably not. We saw how well his tag team partner did.
Yeah. Yeah. Great 15 seconds of fame there.
Got him a DVD.
But yeah, and then when you look on the other side, it's like, again, you know, who do you send over? Maybe send over Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins?
No way.
I don't know, but, you know, it's like we were talking last week when we were looking at bringing guys up, you know, like elevating guys, who's going to be the next big guys. You can't see that because most of the guys beyond the more established guys in the WWE, they're all footnotes.
Oh, I just had a thought. Someone who would actually probably do better in TNA is a guy like Justin Gabriel.
Yeah.
Like, that would probably be a decent trade. I think both would benefit
probably
from that.
Barrett as well.
No. Kinda, yeah. Barrett's been in this really weird funk the last few years where he started really strong. And then when the Nexus went away, he just kinda lost focus on him.
Yeah. But it's like, I sort of see him the same way as they're currently doing Magnus. You know, as a guy who was lost without a group, now he's starting to become one of the bigger guys in the company. So. This was a good discussion topic, Rock. Very confusing, though. Made us actually think about the value of everybody in the bloody company. How dare you?
I know, making you think. Who knew that was possible?
It's a fucking Sunday night. Who wants to think on a Sunday night?
Well, get ready. You're going to be thinking some more here in a second.
Oh, God.
Because it's now time for the roundtable.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Create your ultimate fantasy all-time Survivor Series 5-on-5 team matchup. Go.
Alright. I've actually put a tiny bit of thought into this. And by tiny, I mean at least 15 seconds. We would have Hulk Hogan, The Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man Randy Savage, and the Legion of Doom on one side, against Cena, Punk, Bryan, and Rowan and Luke
and
from the Wyatts.
Now, why did you come up with that matchup?
Taking some of the more popular and innovative wrestlers of the past era against what would essentially be either their counterparts or their contemporaries in the modern day. You know, we've always had the big we've had the comparisons between Hogan and Cena. You know, a lot of people would have loved to have seen in the day Punk versus Macho Man. I'd take out Warrior and put him with Steamboat, so you'd have Steamboat and Bryan for an excellent technical matchup. LOD versus the Wyatts. Two big bruising beat the shit out of each other tag teams. It would make for a very explosive, very drama-filled main event. Because if we're going the ultimate fantasy all time, of course it would be the main event, so you want to stack it with top stars that can put on a quality show.
Right. Omega, your turn.
Since this is fantasy, we assume everyone is in their prime.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Think about this in a way that you're playing this on, like, an emulator or a WWE 2K game.
Okay. My custom Scorpion, my custom Ryu.
Not like that.
Oh. Well,
try and keep it based on actual wrestlers.
I know.
Come on, you wouldn't want me to see Harley Quinn versus AJ Lee? Seriously?
I'd want to see them against each other, but not in a wrestling match.
Hey, as long as they're rolling around, that's all I care about.
You know what? As long as it's fantasy dream survivor match type scenario, You know what? Hang on. Substitution. I would put Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Stone Cold, CM Punk, and The Rock versus Sting, Flair, DDP, Nash, and Booker T.
Very odd pairings.
Explain your logic.
Well, something in my head says let's actually get the invasion right. Something in my head is saying best of WWE versus best of WCW.
Mm-hmm.
Things like Sting and Michaels has been one of those dream matches that would never happen for decades now. You have your big guy comparisons in Nash and Taker. You've got, I like the idea. Okay, if we're talking fantasy scenarios here, I want to see the best of the two go at it.
All right, I'm going to pose this question to Mace here in a second. You pose your matchup. Who wins? Omega.
I like how he poses that question to me and then throws it to you.
No, I said in a second. I said in a second to you, Mace. I'm going to start with Omega. That's how it was meant.
I'm trying to think of how this would finish. Okay, this depends. Since my scenario is company versus company, I've got to take home field advantage into this.
So it's happening in an ECW arena?
Okay. And getting booed out of the place.
Yeah.
No. I can make it even more difficult for him. It's a WWE event in South Carolina.
Uh, Oh, jeez. Yeah, you fuckers make this so easy.
I know, right? It's the whole point. Make you think. I told you, I'm making your brains think.
See, well, if WWE is booking this and they were trying to sell a new WCW, then Sting would probably end up beating, probably HBK for it. But if this was...
Hold on, why is WWE booking your fantasy? Remember, your fantasy.
I know this is my fantasy. Keep in mind, if this really was a fantasy match, this would just be Trish Stratus versus 9 separate pools of Jell-O.
No one said you couldn't go there, but since you didn't, now you can't.
This is like where the fantasy booker just kind of goes out of control in my head. It was like, okay, if Russo was booking this, then, you know, Nash would turn on Sting because he was still an HBK's employee the whole time, and HBK would win. You know, that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. Waiting for a winner.
No, WWE would probably win mine. Probably after Nash blew something in his leg.
So even in your fantasy, he tears a quad. Okay, Mace, who wins?
Well, I was going to put Triple H in the other one, but I figured, no, the quad is going to be the difference maker. I can't put 2 blown quads in there.
All right, Mace, who wins yours and why?
Probably eliminate the Wyatts early on. One of them would be taking the Doomsday Device from the Legion. Probably the other one would take an elbow drop from the Macho Man. Savage gets taken out from a GTS by Punk. Brian and Snooker would probably do some dive and both get counted out. Punk probably take out Hawk, then get taken out by Power Slam by Animal, leaving Cena and Hogan to go one-on-one. Cena drops to the leg drop. Because Hulk Hogan, brother.
Because what you got to do, brother.
Exactly.
So, there you go. There's their fantasy matches. The ultimate fantasy matchup regarding Survivor Series. And when we come back, we're going to get into a little bit more about Survivor Series. So we're going to give you our preview and pick 'em for WWE Survivor Series, which is next Sunday night, believe it or not. We have like 3 matches. So we're going to get into all of those matches, person by person, when we come back. You're tuned in to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
To my next job, hell no, my day ain't over. This gig is just a 1 out of 3. While my babies are home, just waiting on me. This life ain't exactly what I planned. But I'm doing the best I can. I put cash in the cookie jar, money in the freezer, chicken in the fryer, plenty gas up in the freezer. To get ahead, you gotta work twice.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rack.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rack.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the War Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the godfather of cream dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. All right. We're safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's so good. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, no, no.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to be plowed by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Ah, man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Your city, gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin yang, come along.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Country themes continues on. Speaking of the country theme, Raw is country tomorrow. So I asked you guys, who's your favorite country wrestler?
I'm trying to think of the one I wanted to see die in a fire less.
The gambler?
Wow.
I don't know. When you say cowboy, cowboy wrestlers, I'm like,
no.
Next?
No, I said country. I didn't say cowboy.
Oh, country, cowboy, whatever the fuck. Same shit, different wording.
So, you don't like guys like the American Dream?
I wasn't a big fan when he was wrestling, because I only saw him during the polka dot days.
Omega.
I'm thinking... country wrestler.
Country.
Country.
Yeah. You gotta remember, a lot of those type of gimmicks were, like, early to mid-80s.
Alright, I'll make a twist. Country Southern wrestler.
Country Southern.
Yeah.
Mickey James.
Actually, that was the fallback answer. Seriously, I know she did the country gimmick in TNA only. But, second run, when Rockability is, like, threatening the top three in my mind, I need to go with something easy.
Wait, so you're calling Mickey James easy?
She's an easy pick, yeah.
No, you just called her easy. I don't think she would like that.
Is she here?
Joining us now on the phone, Mickey James. No, she's not here. Sorry, you don't get a Mickey James tonight. Alright, so that's your thoughts on that. Now, buy or sell.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell.
No! 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 No!
Buy or sell Omega, Eva Marie as a Divas Champion in 2014.
Sell? How fast can I sell? No. Don't sell it. Bury it out in the desert with all those unsold ET cartridges because there's no fucking chance of selling that.
Mace.
Do what Omega said, take it out in the middle of the desert, bury it with all the ET cartridges, drop a nuclear bomb on it, salt the earth so nothing will ever grow again.
Buy or sell WWE running SummerSlam in London, Mace.
You know what? I would love to see them take a major pay-per-view out of America. They've done it before. They did it with, I believe it was SummerSlam 92. Mm-hmm. It was done in England. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, it has been done. They used to run pay-per-views out of the UK all the time. They used to have 2 to 3 a year. So... yeah, I love to see them. I definitely buy it. Be good to see them get out and have a crowd that's not fucking American. That's why their shows, when they do Raw in London or in Tokyo or something, that's why those crowds are so energetic, because they don't get to see this often. So, by all means, send SummerSlam to London. Bring WrestleMania to Australia. Or,
all right, you're
well, at least the Rumble.
You're reaching now. Okay, oh my God. Buy or sell?
Actually, I'd buy this. When they go overseas, and Mace is right, it's so rare when they get over there. For you know, the crowd is always really hot. You know, and that's just when you get to see a Raw or a SmackDown over there. I'd love to see what the crowd would be like if a major pay-per-view was actually taking place in front of them. It just seems like, WWE's atmosphere has a tendency to be very stagnant. It's why it's always kind of fun to watch them go to the UK or up to Canada, where the crowds respond very differently. So that is a great way of getting a very different response out of a crowd.
Yeah, and I'll say this about the reports that came out pretty much 24 hours after this whole story of bringing a pay-per-view to London broke, where they said, we won't bring a pay-per-view to London because we don't believe it'll draw, and nobody wants to watch a pay-per-view at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Fuck off. It's a Sunday. What else are people going to be fucking doing on a Sunday?
FOOTBALL.
So you do it in the off season.
There is no off season in football. Haven't you know that? Or that's what the NFL wants.
They used to do fucking Survivor Series on Thanksgiving Day in the early evening. Usually when the football game was on, it still fucking drew. You know? Fuck. It's just any excuse to be fucking lazy with that company. Take a fucking risk. You might actually fucking draw more than $20.
Buy or sell Mickey James returning to WWE, Omega.
Bye. If it keeps Eva Marie off the roster, fine. Bye.
Eva Marie beats Mickey James for the Divas
Championship. I am not in the mood to trifle with tonight.
Alright, Mace. Buy or sell.
Here's some money. Take it.
Alright. Time for some quick picks for Turning Point, which airs Thursday live on Spike TV. So we might having Omega pick some TNA matches. Up first, Falls Count Anywhere. Samoa Joe versus Magnus Omega.
Joe.
Mace.
Magnus.
Bull Rope Match. James Storm versus Bobby Roode. Mace.
Storm.
Omega.
Rude.
No DQ. Bully Ray versus Mr. Anderson. If Bully wins, Anderson leaves TNA. If Anderson wins, Aces and Ace must disband. Mace.
Anderson. Ooh, that felt dirty.
Omega.
Bully.
Hey, Omega. Blue.
Blue doesn't have an opposite.
You're supposed to say red.
No, technically I'm supposed to say orange.
Anyway, Omega, Joseph Park versus Abyss.
The guy selling PCP outside the arena.
It's Florida, so that's what you'll be doing on Thursday?
After today, I'm considering it.
Make a pick. Park versus Abyss.
Abyss.
Maze.
The mirror.
No, you gotta make a person.
Park.
Okay. I believe if
If I'm correct, you guys went opposite on everything.
I believe so.
This is going to be interesting, I think.
Maybe. All right, now let's get into it. Yeah, I see. Thanks, Kinkins. Survivor Series preview time. Remember, this is where you can, again, play along and make your picks. Preview this matchup for us, Omega. John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Predicting two pillows and a nice comfy blanket.
Why are you predicting that?
Because Cena's matches are always the same and Del Rio's matches are always boring as hell. This is...
You haven't been a fan of the booking?
No! I mean, Cena's going to win because they want to elevate the world title. You know, it's the whole reason Cena is even booked in the World Heavyweight Championship spot these days. But, No.
What about
this wasn't a good feud the first time they did it. It's not a good feud now. Rio's just so one-dimensional these days.
What's your thoughts on the build, Mace?
Omega's right. Two pillows and a comfy blanket.
I didn't ask about the match. I said the build to the match.
Two pillows and a comfy blanket. It's right. Put me to sleep.
The make a pick.
Fucking Super Cena, of course.
Omega.
Cena.
Mace previewed Brian and Punk versus the Wyatt family.
Two guys coming off really hot feuds put into what the fuck. And Bray talks a lot.
What do you think, Omega? God.
We're going to feud now. We know not why. This is one of those feuds where it's like, I want to beat you up this week, which I fucking hate. Because it's a feud designed specifically to build the Wyatt family up, and it does not have any ground. It has not had any movement. It has no momentum. Because all they did was decide to beat them up one day. You know, it's the part where I kind of get really tired of the Wyatts being so fucking cryptic. Tell me why you're doing this shit.
The devil made me do it.
That doesn't help here.
You asked for a reason.
The devil is an ambiguous thing that may or may not mean an actual devil. At least when they said follow the buzzards, I knew to look for a goddamn bird.
And yet that entire time, we never actually saw a buzzard.
It's on his hat.
Still stuck.
Wow, I need a higher definition TV.
Still stuck to one of Undertaker's WrestleMania entrances.
Alright, Omega, make a pick.
It pains me, but Wyatt's.
Mace.
Yeah, I'm going the Wyatt's on this one as well.
Alright, and the only other matchup available, Randy Orton versus The Big Show. Thoughts on how they've been handling this?
Arrgg!
Honestly, the storyline wasn't that bad. It's the resolution that kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah. Like, the whole thing of the Big Show's firing and everything, it was good. You know, great storyline. It was really setting up to a great match between Big Show and Triple H. And then at the last minute, they slammed on the brakes, turned the car sideways, and go, sorry, we're pulling into Randy Orton's driveway.
There's Big Show getting on the mic and saying, not only do I want my job, I want to involve this guy who has had absolutely nothing to do with this up until this point.
Yeah, I suddenly want to become number one contender for the World Heavyweight title because I just got my job back. That's like walking in going, you know, I just lost the company $20 billion. I know you've just fired me, but guess what? I have this piece of paper here that says I get my job back and a fucking raise.
Look here, Big Show, I'm Triple H, and I cannot condone people walking in here and just getting handed contenderships and championships. Oh. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Not pick the match, Omega.
Orton.
Mace.
Oh my god, RKO out of nowhere. Orton wins.
So that's their picks for WWE Survivor Series. You can send your picks to media at wildtalkradio.com, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, and the Twitter at wildtalkradio. We will have
it is kind of us in a nutshell that me and him completely disagree on TNA, and we agree on WWE.
Yeah. As always, you have till 5 p.m. on Sunday to get your picks in. We'll probably have the full card come Thursday night on the rack. Right now, it is time for the Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate.
Oh my God, wait a minute! It's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And That's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
In our first round matchup, we have Taz's WWE debut taking on the debut of Carlito. Mace, you're up first.
Alright, this is sort of, kind of, a little bit interesting. Like, you had Carlito come out and challenged John Cena for the U.S. belt and won up against Taz, who came out against the then undefeated Kurt Angle and choke him the fuck out. I'm going to put it down to Taz only because the way the match was nice, short, got the character over extremely well, got his gimmick over of I'm just coming out to beat the shit out of you, got that over extremely well, and damn no suplexes.
Omega.
Yeah, going with Taz as well. It was a very effective debut, and it was extremely strong, sudden, came out, made a point. It was very Taz. He came out, got business done, and over that quick. Which is exactly how, when, you know, Taz going into a WWE area where, okay, yes, he is the human suplex machine. He's an incredible wrestler. He's still a little dwarfish. So debuting him that way, nice and strong, nice and impactful, very good way of getting him over immediately.
So Taz moves on. Goldberg's WWE debut versus the debut of Kurt Angle in TNA. Omega.
Hmm.
This was actually kind of... This one's tougher than it should be. It really should. It really is. Because it was the last guy who didn't come over during the invasion, immediately picking a fight with The Rock versus... And being a more sudden debut, a more surprise one, versus Angles, which was heavily built up, and he went right after Samoa Joe back when he was being well booked. Which between how good of those two wrestlers were was something of a dream match. Not exactly sure. I almost say the same for Goldberg and Rock because it was the two icons of the companies at the time. Mm-hmm. So. It's actually a fairly well matched little debate here.
See, I can do that from time to time. You do realize this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're not rigging it, something shocking.
Yeah, because I totally rig it.
Warrior should have won, damn it!
I'd edge it out to Goldberg just because it was more I like the unexpected debuts more than the ones that have been built up a long time. Is when you're talking about two very established stars, for one to suddenly just appear where you didn't expect him, that's good. To appear after weeks of promos in a place where you pretty much knew he was going to end up anyway, that's not so impactful. And they both went and picked picked fights with the biggest dogs in the yard at the time. So in that part, they're matched. So yeah, just a slight edge to Goldberg.
Mace.
I'm going to give it to Goldberg because of the way they were handled. Sure, there were people in the crowd that night who knew Goldberg was coming. But they weren't many. TNA shot themselves in the foot. Because before the debut happened, after I believe it was a Bound for Glory pay-per-view went off the air, they showed Angle's video.
No Surrender, because I think he came at Bound for Glory.
Surrender, was it?
I think it was the tease to Bound for Glory, I think.
I know it was that after a pay-per-view had gone off the air... That they showed Angle.
Yeah, it was you know, a big thing, and right after the pay-per-view, right after the main event, they aired it, yeah.
Yeah. But it never made the actual pay-per-view. What happened was people actually caught...
No.
Did it actually make the pay-per-view?
Yeah, it was the final thing on the pay-per-view. I tell you, the pay-per-view ended, it's real, it's damn real.
But either way, they announced that, like, they basically turned around and said, here's Kurt Angle! Okay. We knew he was going to go there eventually. And now you've pretty much blown any surprise. Whereas Goldberg's was, oh, there's a rumor tonight that Goldberg's in the building. There's a rumor that Goldberg's in the area. Doesn't really mean anything, because Goldberg travels for other shows, you know. But Goldberg coming out and just, Rock, hi, spear. Yeah, you're fucked. It had more of an impact. It had more impact than what happened on Impact. So, yeah, Goldberg.
So, Goldberg and Taz move on. Next week on The Great Debate, the debut of Eric Bischoff in WWE against the debut of Christian Cage in TNA. Against the debut of The Brood against The Shield. Next week on The Great Debate. Now, it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Let's see. Mace, if you could star in a biopic about any famous person ever, who would it be and why?
Biopic about anyone. Am I involved in the story or am I a person in the background?
You are starring as the famous person.
I'm starring as the famous person.
Yeah, if you could, if you could star in the biopic about a famous person.
See, now I don't really look like any celebrities, so it's sort of hard to get like an exact match. If
that's
I was
what
in
makes
a,
it funny.
Yeah, true. But you know what? Just for the simple fact that this would be probably the more weird and interesting biopics you'd ever do, I'd appear in a Doctor Who biopic. I can be one of the random doctors or something. Or Time Lord or background Cylon number 53.
Cylons or Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, yeah. Fucking Cylons and Cybermen, they fucking confuse me.
I'm a
too
fucking
many
dork.
Shiny. Too many shiny gray robots.
Alright, Omega. Simple question. Is Andy Kaufman alive or dead?
I hope so. I hope he's alive.
You hope?
I hope.
What'd you think with all the stuff that came out?
That was so bizarre. But then again, it's very Kaufman.
It is, isn't it?
To have someone jump the stage at a random comedy club and go, "Yeah, I'm the daughter and my father's still alive."
And he was tempted, and he was tempted to show up tonight.
It's strange because it's very Kaufman in that it's very hard to pin down how. You can't tell if it was real or fake. You can't tell if it was a joke or not. You know, even if that was really the daughter, was she really telling the truth? You know, if he was alive, where is he? If he is dead, why would you do this to someone who's that well remembered? I almost want to say he's alive just because it would take him to actually think of this. And to actually get away with it.
It would. Alright, so you hope he's alive.
Yeah.
Okay. Mace, would you be more embarrassed to buy sex toys or adult diapers?
Adult diapers.
Why?
That means I'd be getting Tim old.
Never said they were for you.
Well, you never said that, Dopus.
Alright, so adult diapers for you. Alright, Omega, tomorrow morning you wake up in the body of a celebrity. Like in, you know, a 90s body swap movie. Who is it? How do you react to your life? What do you do when you're them? Would you choose to switch back?
Yeah, you had to ask me something that requires thought today.
That's the name of the game.
I'm trying to think, because there's no celebrity I'd want to fucking be. Can I say if I woke up in the body of Justin Bieber, I'd throw myself in front of a bulldozer? Does that count?
Well, do you die in that scenario?
Well, see, that depends on the writer of the movie now, doesn't it?
Well, you're the writer of the movie. Would you die?
In my perfect movie, I'd just wake up in my own body. It'd be like a, you know, it wouldn't be a body swap, it'd be a temporary possession.
So basically you want to transform yourself into Justin Bieber to kill him and then reappear as yourself.
You know, after killing a hooker or something.
This is not Grand Theft Auto.
It can be, though.
But it's not. Can't kill the hooker.
Uh-huh.
You either can kill the hooker or you can kill a Bieber. You gotta choose.
Then the hooker has to be either male or underage, because I want to ruin this guy.
To be honest, I don't think there's much more damage you can do. I've read an article today that it's people are selling his tickets on eBay for half price.
He's a fad. The fad's dying. Thank God.
Thanks, Canada. Anyway, that'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night is the Raw Post Show, live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it's The Rack with Lindsay Moore at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll go over Survivor Series review, Impact, / Turning Point, whatever they're calling it this week, and all the news and notes you can possibly handle. Go to RackRadioShow.com. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow. Friday night, May 9 p.m. Eastern. What's going on?
That would be opening the door of the WTR Games Garage once again as we head in for the final time. 30 years of WrestleMania, doing, I believe, the last 5 years of WrestleMania, which means lots more matches where I have to either play or beat up The Rock. Tune in for me raging as I fail objectives because they're too fucking hidden or stupid, and other silly comments that we make during the night.
Midnight-ish at CB Radio on Saturday nights. We're 2 weeks away from 6 years of CB Radio, so you want to tune in for that in 2 weeks. But, you know, it's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. Last night it was, how many TV shows could you actually name? Comedians could you name, and all that fun stuff. Go back and check the archive tomorrow for CB Radio. We'll be back next Sunday night, live at 11 p.m. Eastern, covering WWE Survivor Series for Wrestle Talk Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.net, and for Lindsay, check out Pants.net/Lindsay Ward, and follow her on Twitter at Lindsay Ward Omega.
Google TG Omega, all my shit's there. This is a nice thing with brand identity.
Mace.
Google the Mace thing on Google, and good luck.
You've been listening to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Networks. For Mace and Omega, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on Wild Talk Radio. Wild Talk Radio Network. AltRadio.com, presented by MemLanePromo.com.
WrestlingTalkRadio.com.